Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, my Blog Talk listeners out there. This is Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm hoping you guys have had a great week. As you know, this weekend is Mother's Day, and I'm hoping everyone has gotten their Mother's Day gift already or plan to do something for Mother's Day with their mothers. I've decided to take my mom out to eat for Mother's Day, and we've already got that set up. Now, tonight, we will be talking about nonprofit organizations, how to start one, what are the forms and information you need in order for you to start one. Before we get into that, I keep jumping around. Let's talk about what's going on in the news today. For one thing, the oil spill, trying to make sure that oil doesn't destroy any more of our land and water or keep it off the land. That's one topic. The floods in Tennessee and in Kentucky is another matter that's going on that's very important. And then I think it was another attempt at Times Square in New York for another bombing. I'm not too clear on the story on the second attempt. I think they said it was like a U-Haul truck or something like that. It smelled like gasoline. Somebody left it sitting on a bridge or something. And I'm trying to figure out what else, another story that's been in the news. Oh, and about the murder of the lacrosse player. So you guys, there is a lot going on out there. And I don't like to dwell on the bad things that are happening because there's so many good things are happening in the process of all this bad stuff. So I was just kind of mentioning the news. Now, let's get on our subject. We're talking tonight about nonprofit organizations, okay? Do anybody familiar with nonprofit organizations? What does it consist of? What is it? Anybody? Okay. Well, I guess I'll have to break that down to you. Nonprofit means most of the time that you have an organization that you're trying to provide a service for your community, and majority of the monies in order to operate the nonprofit comes from the general public or government grants or different foundations, charitable foundations that, you know, giving charity to support your cause or your organization. Now, before you can become a nonprofit, you have to be established by IRS that you are tax exempt. Okay? In order to get your tax exemption, you have to do several things. And I'm going to try to slowly explain what they are. Okay. First of all, you have to find out what service would you have or want to have to serve your public or your community. Once you find out what you do, what you want to do, you need to have a mission statement. Once you establish your mission statement, you need to start working on where you want to have your meetings at. First of all, you need your personnel. You need to determine whether or not you're going to have a director or a number of directors, whether you're going to have a president, a secretary, treasurer. You need your officers because they're the ones who's going to be doing your everyday operations of your organization and your nonprofit. Once you get those established, The next is a place to meet. Okay? Once you find out where you want to meet at, all of this information has to go into your bylaws, because your bylaws is the rules and regulations of the operation or the structure of your nonprofit. Now, along with your bylaws, you have to remember, along with your bylaws goes your articles of incorporation. In order for you to take the next step as far as trying to apply for tax exemption, you need to have an article of incorporation. Most of the time, you can get that through your Secretary of State. Okay? Once you've got those articles of incorporation, you know you have to fill out the paperwork. It's a $60 fee here. I don't know how it is anywhere else, but it is a $60 fee or more other places. It's a filing fee, and it's like your annual report every year that you need to send in. And after you established it and they've sent you back your certificate allowing you to do business as your nonprofit, or your corporation, with those, that actually keeps you on the book for them. So every year you send in $5 with your application, and you only have to get it notarized once, and that's when you initially get it started. Okay? Now, you have your articles of incorporation along with your bylaws. You have to be very, very careful when you're writing bylaws, because you can get sued with your bylaws if you don't know what you're doing. I advise you to get someone who's very well experienced in writing bylaws. You can write your own bylaws, but you got to know what you're doing. And some you can do real quick. Some might be more in-depth than others. You want it to fit your structure. You want it structured to your operation, your daily operations, how you do things, how you appoint people into positions, how you elect people, how you get rid of people, how you replace those people. You have to have all of that, how you handle your monies, you know, the responsibility of each and every officer, where you have your meetings, when you have your meetings. All of that stuff consists, and it's all wrapped up into your bylaws. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what you're doing when you're messing with bylaws. Okay. Once you've done your bylaws, the next thing you need to do is the tax exemption form, which is a doozy in itself. A while back, when I first started doing research on doing a nonprofit organization, I found out that the name of the form, first of all, is a 1023. That is the tax form that you use to fill out in order for you to claim tax exempt. Well, that's the way you apply through the IRS to be tax exempt, a tax exempt organization. The instructions is called Publication 557. That tells you how to go through the whole process. Now, as I was saying earlier, there was a time when it didn't used to be so long of the process. The pages weren't that many. And I tell people all the time, you have to know what you're doing. You can't just throw something together and send it to IRS, because they will not take it. I'm telling you right now, they won't take it. So you need to sit down, get somebody who's good with budgets, get somebody who knows how to write stuff up. If you're not good with writing, get somebody who knows what they're doing. Let them go over the application with you, because you need to get familiar with it yourself. You can actually hire somebody to do the whole thing for you, but, I mean, that's a choice that you have. Me, I would rather do it myself, because it saves me money and I learn in the process. And I'm a type of person where I keep reading. If I don't understand something, I'm going to keep reading and I'll find the information out before I actually clearly put anything on paper. I have to know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't like to just throw stuff on paper. if I haven't done my research. So, you have to know what you're doing. It used to be no more than, I think, about 15 pages long. Now it's 30 pages long. And the process has gotten longer simply because of a lot of these nonprofit organizations weren't doing right. Now, you know what I'm talking about. They were not doing the correct thing. They were doing a lot of dirty stuff. Not all of them, just some of them. So IRS got a little bit, you know, kind of stringent on how they're doing things, stricter on how they're doing things and scrutinizing everything that you write down and everything that you fill out on that form. Now, I'm trying to figure out. Okay, with that form, the publication 557 basically tells you bit, line by line how to fill it out. Okay, you have to make sure you're paying attention to everything. Matter of fact, I just got through putting together mine. I'm redoing mine. I've put together the paperwork for it, but I never took attention to send it in. I just started getting sidetracked and I started doing something else. So I've had mine since 2005. I have been incorporated since 2005, January 2005, with my nonprofit, but I hadn't done anything with it. So what I did was, and I'm a fanatic for keeping stuff because I know one day I'll have to use it. What I've done is I've gone back and put everything back together again so that, you know, if by chance I can help somebody else with it. Matter of fact, I'm in the process of working on a book on how to do this, which I think is very interesting. And I know it's a lot of books out there dealing with nonprofits, but I thought it would be a good thing to do. And I'm always writing something. Okay. Pulling out the instructions for Form 1023 is what it's called, the 1023. And it's an application for recognition of exemption under Section 501(c)(3) of the Internal Revenue Code. Okay. I'm sorry, I said the publication was 557. I'm sorry, that's not right. That tells you about tax exemption status. That's what that publication is for. Okay. Just alone, the instructions, it's about 20 pages long itself. That just goes to show you how important it is for you to make sure you fill out everything. Now, in fact, let me tell you this again. The form is 35 pages long. That's so that you know that you can't messing around when you're filling this out. You have to know what you're doing. And it all depends on, a lot of these answers depend on what type of nonprofit you're trying to open up or trying to organize. Now, the information, the instructions alone are, they're simple to read. You know, you might see them one way, and I might see them another way. And that's why I always find myself reading it over and over again so that I know what I'm reading and to make sure I'm doing it correctly. When I pulled mine out, and the name of my nonprofit is called Hugs Around the Heart Corporation, something I already had put together, already done everything, had all my paperwork together. I just never did anything with it. Another thing I want to tell you guys about is the fees. It depends on what type of organization you have is the way that the fee is. I mean, the money. If you have an amount that doesn't exceed $10,000 over a four-year period, it only costs you $400. It was $300. Now it's $400 to get it started. If you have a organization that exceeds the $10,000, then it's $745. So I'm glad mine is $10,000 and below. So I would have to pay $400 for this application to have this application processed. So you think about paying somebody to do it, and then plus you have to pay the $500, the $400 in order to get it processed. I'd rather read it myself. And if I made any boo-boos, I fix the boo-boos myself. I don't want to have to go through all of that. Now, keep in mind, there's also a lot of classes. Now, I know here we have the Rapid Foundation here in this local area, and they have different classes that they offer to nonprofit organizations, churches, and stuff like that, where you can sit on how to create a committee. Do you really want to be a nonprofit? You know, they have those different classes, and I've actually taken time out and attended some of them. Matter of fact, they got a group of classes this month going on, but I'm not going to be able to attend them. But in the past, I have. When I was very passionate about doing this, I did go to several of their classes. Very, very interesting and good information. And you learn, and that's another way to network with other people to find out what they're doing. And, you know, you have board members. I mean, it's, the classes are very good. You know, the people who are teaching them are very good at what they do because that's what they do for a living, is to instruct on how to set up and do your nonprofit. Now, as far as the 1023, I learned that on my own. I sat down and found out what it was, and I went through it myself. And I first filled it out on paper by my hand, and I kept on and kept on until I got everything together. Then I turned around and I did it on the computer. Also, when I came up with the idea that I wanted to do this, I got some information from my sister-in-law. Her son has a nonprofit in California, so we were talking about that back and forth, and she actually gave me a sample of how his looks and how he does his. And that's what gave me the idea to say, okay, Salita, you know what? If he's done this, you can do it too, because he did all his own stuff. So that's when I went into researching and finding out what I could do. You have to understand, when you're filling this thing out, this one now is 30 pages long, and that's no lie. It doesn't mean that you fill out every one of the pages, because some of this stuff doesn't pertain to you, but the whole form is about 30 pages long. And at the end, it has a checklist, and it kind of goes back over the stuff that you need to make sure that you make important. One thing that's on here that it might, depends on what state you're in, that it won't pertain to you, and that's the provisions on your articles of incorporation, just in or your bylaws, just in case you want to dissolve the company or corporation or organization. Certain states, it's not, and it doesn't have to be included in your whole packet. And since I live in the state of Louisiana, it excludes me, so I don't have to add that in. You have to understand there's also a conflict of interest. What do you want to call that? Not a contract, but it's part of your articles, policy. It's a policy, I'm sorry. It's a policy. So you have to make sure that if you're, it's mainly geared toward hospitals, that you know what you're doing when you're dealing with a conflict of interest policy, and you have to have that included if you were doing a hospital. I'm going to put one in mine, simply the cover, just in case, because you never know, I might need one, I might not, but it's basically geared toward people who are planning on opening up a hospital or doing any type of medical care. Because, and also, and I found that in the schedule part of the application, you have schedules, because you're going to fall up under a schedule. I wind up falling under Schedule E and G, because I'm planning on giving away scholarships and grants. So I had to fall up under and eat. Then also you have to keep in mind the time frame you're actually applying for the tax exemption. Because I'm after the 27 months after I've created my company or my corporation, or after I've actually put together 1023 and actually going to apply for it, I have to fall up under a different type, and you will too. And the two different types, if I'm not mistaken, is definitive ruling and advanced ruling. I have to fall up under advanced ruling because I need to get time because of my time frame of the way that I'm doing this. I fall up under an advanced ruling. So I'm going to get permission for that first. And that gives me an extra 5 years, if I'm not mistaken, how to explain it to you. Extra 5 years on the ideal that so that I can build up my time on my my organization so that I have more paperwork to put in, I guess. I'm thinking that's what it is, but that's what it says I fall upon. I might not be explaining it correctly right now. Anyway, so once I've done that, I found out what I fall up under. I find out that the two different schedules that I have to fill out. You're going to have to, everything is not going to be able to be put in the application. You're going to have attachments. There's no way that you can do all of this without attachments. And there's a lot of attachments. You have financial statements that you have to have. I'm so sorry. you have to have financial statements. You have to prove the different activities that you're planning on doing. Say, for instance, you're not established yet. So what you have to do is you have to show them, present to them the different activities you plan to do in order for you to raise money in your organization, or just what are you going to do in your community too, period. You know, you have to have all this in writing, and you have to have them explained. You have to have an explanation of all of them. And I had like 3 or 4 different items that we were going to do, or we did, or we were about to do. And I planned. I told them when it was going to happen. I told them it's the past or present. You have to tell them all of that. You have to break it down. So you have to make sure all of your paperwork is together. So when you do put it in, you have your whole packet together, the statements, the monies. You have to explain where your monies go, how your supplies are bought. You have to make sure that you make a distinction in between your officers and people that you got to pay. Say you want to give somebody compensation, you have to make sure you know what you're doing with that. You have to read each and every line and understand it. That's why that instruction, I think that instruction manual that comes with it is awesome. And what's so amazing about this, you can download it right off of IRS.gov. You go to www.irs.gov. Up under it says charitable and nonprofit. You go in there, and under publications and forms, you'll find 1023, and you're going to want to download the instructions. Some people can read it online. It's up to them. I have to download it because I have to look at it. Download the instruction and the form itself if you want to. But it's also a fillable in type form, and you can also save it, which I love because I can go back and make any changes before I actually send it in or add anything in there that I hadn't, and it's good to look over it. Now, another thing I didn't tell you, and you need to understand this, you need an EIN number. Get you an EIN number. You can fill that out. If you go to IRS.gov, you can also get an EIN number so that you'll be able to do legitimate type business. Okay? Let me think of what else I could tell you that pertains to this 1023. It's a lot of work, and you definitely, because it's broken down in several different parts. Some of the stuff doesn't pertain to you if it's not the type of nonprofit that you're trying to do. You're not trying to open up a daycare, if you're not trying to do a hospital, school, or anything like that. If you're not trying to do anything like that, then it'll tell you to continue to go on. It's almost like filling out your tax forms, actually. You do have to have, and it has to be also in your bylaws. You have to keep this in mind. You have to have a fiscal year. Like for my organization, my fiscal year ends on October 31st. So you have to have that. Not only do you have to have that in the paperwork as far as the filling out the paperwork, the 1023, you also have to have that either in your bylaws or your article of incorporation. I think it's in the bylaws. That's part of the structure of how your organization is set up. You have to know whether or not you're going to need a secretary and a treasurer. Some people have a secretary and treasurer that can do dual duties. It's up to you, but you have to have them named. They have to have their address. You have to have everybody that's part of the organization in there. Name, address, the whole nine yards. That's what they're going to ask for. So make sure you've gotten those people. And as having a secretary, you need to make sure that your secretary are taking accurate notes, because all of that's going to be part of, if they wanted to come back to look at it. And plus, once you become non-exempt, a nonprofit, and after everything has been established and approved, you become public notice. So you have to make sure you have your P's and Q's together, all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. So whoever you have for your secretary, she needs to know how to take notes, minutes, recordings, whatever, and make sure she keeps a good log of everything, whether it's online or in notebooks, as long as when someone asks for it, it's visual, they can get to it. That's very important. Also, that goes for your money. That's dealing with your treasurer. You have to make sure when you do your bylaws that you establish each and every one of them, one of their duties, and be specific about their duties. Don't just give a generalized statement. Break that statement down. Break down everything that their job entails so that it will be easier when someone goes back to look at the bylaws. Okay, yeah, they're doing their job. If they're not, you know, as members, they can question it. You know. Now, also, the bylaws are not, everybody doesn't get a copy of the bylaws, but that's up to you. It's your business. It's your organization. You do it the way you want to. But the bylaws usually stays with the secretary. If anybody wants to see them upon request, there shouldn't be a problem with the secretary giving them a copy to look at them to make sure everybody's doing what they're doing. Most of the time, they let you have your own copy if you're a member. Nonprofit, it's more to it than just setting up business, and it's more to it because fundraising is a big part of nonprofits. And a lot of people are tapped out. And I mean, I'm just saying it like it is. A lot of the nonprofits have been struggling for a while because people are not giving as much as they used to give, okay? It used to be a real big thing to give to organizations, but it hasn't been in a while. And hopefully that will get better as time goes on. So you have to keep in mind, this is not your cash drawer. This is not your purse or your wallet. So you can't just go to a once you establish it and get it rolling, it's not for you to spend the money because that treasurer has to account for each and every one of those pennies. Now, if it's agreed upon and it's in your bylaws that you can be compensated, it has to be in your bylaws. That's part of the bylaws. If it's not and money's being taken, guess what? That's causing trouble. You're causing trouble for yourself and your organization. And it doesn't look good when you're causing that kind of problem for yourself. So all any type of money, any type of transactions, financial transactions, you have to make sure that it's in your bylaws, that it can be done in your bylaws. And if there's any amendments made to the bylaws, make sure all of that has been done and agreed upon by your board that these amendments can take place. You can't just do it on your own. You have to know what you're doing when you're messing with bylaws. You know, the articles of incorporation are very important too, because that protects you. Okay. So you have to know what you're doing when you're doing a nonprofit. I'm serious. It's a very serious thing, and it can come back to bite you, okay? You don't want it to do that. So I advise you guys to get the right person to do it. I advise you guys to get someone who knows what they're doing. Me, I'm not giving myself all the credit in the world because I don't want to mess anybody up. But what I've learned is I've done things on my own. I'm right now in the process of assisting one of my future guests that will be coming on the show, a young man by the name of Emmanuel Arsenal. I'm going to be interviewing him. He's one of our local guys who's gone off to play football for Canadian Football League in Canada. And he has a nonprofit. So I was kind of giving him tips on what he needs to do to get it rolling. Also, I have another guest coming up that I spoke with and getting ready to interview. So I am getting the guest that I said I was going to get. So I only made that statement because you have to know, you have to understand, because you can't just do something that you don't understand you're doing. And our interpretation, everybody's interpretation is not the same, so it's good to get legal advice on it. I'm saying that because if you're not familiar and you don't know if I'm telling the truth, get your legal advice on your nonprofit. One guy I know who did it, and he told me he got it started and everything, he said he had a lawyer look over his paperwork, which it didn't take him long. He was surprised that it didn't take him long before he got his nonprofit status, and he's up and running. I think that was like 2 or 3 years ago, so I hadn't seen him since. So I know when I talked to him at that time, he was very, you know, he was very happy. He said, I got it done. And he came to me to thank me because I had talked to him about what he needs to do, the basics that he needed to do to get his started. Because at the time, I had already had done all my paperwork. I just never did anything with it. So I don't mind helping people as much as I can with just the basics. I'm not a lawyer. I just only can do the basics, and that's because I'm at home and I can take time out to look things over, and that's just what I like to do. If you have any questions, you know how to contact me, because I've been talking for a while now. You know to contact me at 347-677-1749 if you have any questions for me. If not, I will continue. Okay. We've talked about bylaws. We've talked about the Articles of Incorporation, which establish you in order to do business in the state that you live in. You have to have those. Let's go back on fundraisers, because you have to understand. On the form 1023, you have to, because say you haven't started your fundraising projects yet, you have to tell them what you want to do. It'll be what you call a future project. What will you do for the community that you claim that you're going to do from the get-go? You said you were going to do these things. So you have to find different things. For example, one of my future projects was Operation Closet Full, and that was to give clothes out to people who needed clothes. Okay? So what I had to do was I had to put that on there, then I had to break it down to exactly what I was going to do with my time, the percentage of time I'm going to work on it, the volunteer. You have to break it all the way down. It has to have its own plan of action. So say if I have four or five different operations that I want to do, I have to break them down and plan them accordingly so that it looks like, okay, really in depth. You can make it short and simple, but you got to understand what you're trying to achieve. You're trying to get your new tax-exempt status. So you have to break it completely down to everything, down to how many people you're going to use, to how long you're going to do it, and what is going to be the end result of it. So you need to break it all the way down, each and every one of them. And it looks good when you do it that way. It really does.
Congratulations. You won.
Excuse me, I don't know what that was that just made that noise on me. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Now, also, like I said, you need to break all of that down to get so you can get very comfortable with it. And when you put all your paperwork together, that it looks very nice and neat. I advise you to do a spreadsheet when it comes to the money, when you're breaking down your statements, because you're going to have a statement, a balance sheet. You have to have all of that. So I advise you to use a spreadsheet. If you don't know how, get somebody to show you how to use a spreadsheet so that it looks nice and neat, and it makes it look like you know what you're talking about. Say if you're, I'm basically talking to people who are just trying to get started, okay? Most people are already established. They know what to do. This is just the people who don't know what to do. You have to, on your statement, your balance sheets and your statements, you have to make sure you have what's going on now, the end, the tax year end, and then also what you project to do in the next 4 to 5 years. You have to have that covered, or the next 2-3 years. Let me see. Mine, the one original one I did, I started in 2006. Let's make sure. No, I'm sorry. I started in 2005. I projected it for 2006 and 2007. Because those years hadn't come yet. So I projected what my revenue was going to be, what my expenses were going to be, and that would have been, this is for my schedule, this is my first part of my schedule, and then I broke it down, for the whole year, projected for 2006 and 2007, because I did this back in 2005, because I hadn't started established. So I kind of wrote down everything. I broke it down and did it on the spreadsheet type form so that they would see how much, what money I was bringing in and what money I projected to bring in opposed to what money I actually didn't have and how much my expenses was going to cost me. So that, to me, that was more of a harder part to me than the rest of it, because I love to write, so it wouldn't have been hard for me to write. It's just kind of putting these numbers together in my head and how much is this going to be and how much that going to be, you know, kind of putting the expenses, because you got to know what you're going to spend. You got to know how much it's going to cost for you to do your operation. Also, luckily, I didn't have any officers or board members that I had to pay, because if I did, I had to break that down and I have to explain how I was going to pay them. So it's a lot to this application. Really, it is. And you got to know what you're doing when you're messing with it. So this is what I want to do right now. I'm going to play some little music here. This is by Maze. And enjoy it for a second. Okay? Thank you. That was a little Frankie Beverly and Maze, just something to kind of break the monotony of me yabbing on and on and on. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. Now, once you've gotten all that established, once you've gotten all your paperwork together, everything has been done the way that it needs to be done, you've gotten your stamp of approval from someone who knows what they're doing after they looked at over your application, then you mail it in with your money. Do not staple the money, the check, or money order. It's best to just lay it in the packet. It's best to send it. I would send it certified so that you know somebody got it. So I would send a packet like this because it's a very important package. So you would want it certified so that you can get, you know, sure that someone got it. And it takes a while. It's not going to be done overnight, okay? But in the meantime, while you're waiting on it, that's when you start doing everything you're supposed to do, you know. Do your fundraisers. Do your little projects that you have to do. And keep accountability of everything you're doing, okay? So just in case something is not right, you have proof that you have been establishing and doing these things or making these different projects happen. Now, believe it or not, nonprofit used to be a real big thing. It's a big thing, but it's not as big and great as it used to be. You do get discounts on a lot of stuff. I mean, other organizations are willing to work with you when you're nonprofit. You do. There's places that you can get meetings that you didn't think. You can do seminars. You can get. You can work with the schools. You can work with churches with your organization. Depends on what type of organization you're with. You have to get your name out there. I advise you to get a website. I advise you to get a email address. I advise you to make sure that you're accessible to the public, whether it's somebody who doesn't have a computer to somebody who does. Get your flyers out whenever you're doing something. Introduce yourself to your community. That is a very good thing to do. Have a welcome to our organization party or get-together. You know, lunch and brunch so people can get familiar with your face, knowing who you are, what you offer. You know, do a little presentation. You know, each and every time, you know, people see you, have your whole thing ready to move, you know, brochures, cards, you know, if you can give a little freebie with your name on it. I mean, it's up to you how much you want them to know about you. If you have a service that is very, very valuable to a certain area or a community, you want to get your name out there. Okay. Now, when you first start off, you know, everybody doesn't have their own building and have their meeting places. Most of the time, like for me, I start at my home. I can always go to one of the different offices and meeting areas to rent it for a couple of hours or whatever. It doesn't cost that much money. That cater to nonprofits because they know a lot of us are just starting off, so they have a place where we can all get together and meet. Conferences and stuff that you can go to. So you'd be surprised with the help that's out there when it comes to nonprofit organizations. Just be truthful with what you're doing. And don't try to get over on anybody in your process because there's a lot of us who, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours no matter how I scratch it. No, you want to be very honest, and because what you're serving the community, and your name is out there. So you have to keep that in that's very important that you keep that out there. And you want what you serve in the community, you want it to shine. I mean, you want to be known for doing good deeds for your community or any community. So it's very, very important that you do what you say you're going to do. You know, if you have to change things up, that's fine. If you have to alter some things, that's fine, but make sure you're doing what you say you're going to do. And it's going to be public record, so you have to shine. You have to do what you're saying you're going to do. Let's see, I was thinking about something else as I was talking to try to get out to you guys. Okay, we talked about the email addresses, the websites, brochures, your presentations, because it's about you marketing your organization. What can your organization do for you? I mean, for the community. What type of program? And it also will hinder you from grants if you don't know what you're doing. That's another thing. So what you're saying that you're going to serve your community to do, that's what can actually have a very big impact on your grant, how you apply for your grant money. Even your microloans if you have to get a loan or whatever. You have to show and prove what you're doing. So and it's a lot of money out there. The government has a lot of money out there, but you have to know what you're doing when you're going after it. I can't write grants. I have friends who can, so I automatically know that that's something I'm not good at, is writing a grant. Not that I would not take time out to learn, but this person I have that I know I can get them to help me, I would rather use them. I can't do grants. And it's probably not hard to do because you just got to know how to put one together. And there's all kinds of stuff on the Internet to show you how to do it. So, I mean, you can do it yourself, but I'd rather have somebody who I know has done it before and have been successful at doing it. So that won't be a problem as far as that goes. But that's not right. Right now, the grant money is really not something I'm worried about right now. I'm basically once I get that tax exempt, then I can go for the grant money. I just want to first make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as far as getting this paperwork together and sending off the packet fully ready to roll, you know, and getting a good positive feedback off of it that I can get my tax exempt status. That's mostly what I'm trying to gear all this to. I'm not too worried about the grant. The grants can come later, you know, after I've established myself and know what I'm doing. And then I can worry about the money. But it's not going to be an easy thing because there's so many organizations out there that are struggling and trying to stay above water. And you don't want to be one of them that's in there, that falls down inside there. Okay. I just want to make sure it's still on. It clicked here. Let's see. So, okay. I'm sorry. So, I'm hoping that all the information that I gave you guys tonight, you can use it. I hope you heard me clearly because I'm on my cell phone. I'm not on my regular phone. So I'm hoping you guys heard me very clearly. If you didn't, please, you know how to contact me at Blog Talk Radio, Chocolate Lady 64. Or you can get me at Sensible64@yahoo.com. Also, our XanderCherry@yahoo.com. Anytime you want to talk to me, I am here. Email me at any time. I'm going to shut the show down a little bit early tonight because I want to get back in working on these forms. But I want to tell you this. I got two guests coming up, one for next week, hopefully, and one after the week after next, if I can get him to stay still long enough. One of them is a private detective, and the other one is a football player that I told you guys about earlier, and he's working on his 501(c) right now, and the name of his project is the Emmanuel Arsenal Project, and it's dealing with disadvantaged youth. So do you see how we connect already, networking with people, finding out stuff? And I have some other stuff I want to tell you guys for next week. Hopefully everything works out and we can get together next Thursday, same time, same bat place. I want to say good night to all my Blog Talk listeners. This is Chocolate Lady 64 sounding off. Good night.